It's July the 7th, and we are in Yirmiyahu. We're up to Perek Yud, chapter 10. Shimu es hadavar hasher diber Hashem aleichem beis Yisrael. Listen to the word that Hashem spoke about you, house of Israel. This lecture from Yirmiyahu is not going to be as scathing as we have had in the past few chapters. Kol ma Hashem, so says Hashem. El derech hagoyim al tilmidu, or al tilmadu, the ways of the nations you should not learn, umeosos ha-shamayim al techasu, and do not be afraid of the signs of the heavens. Ki echatu hagoyim mehema, for the non-Jews are afraid of them. But you don't need to be afraid of them. If you do not learn their ways, then you do not need to be afraid of the signs of the heavens. So, there's a relatively well-known Gemara in Maseches Shabbos that says, Ein mazel liYisrael, that the Jews are not governed by mazel. Mazel means the constellations of the stars and the planets. The Gemara there, the Mefarshim explain, the commentaries say, does not mean that Jews are not governed at all by mazel. After all, as you all know, we say mazel tov. Clearly, we're acknowledging mazel and its role in our lives. And although science, modern day science, has not yet figured out that the stars and the planets affect things down here, but they certainly do without question. And just because that's a technology and a science that they don't know doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It does exist. They just haven't figured it out. We acknowledge it. We believe in it. And there is such a thing as mazel. But the Gemara says, Ein mazel liYisrael. There is no mazel for the Jewish people. That means that we can rise above it. We are born into a particular mazel. Everybody is born in a mazel. However, because we are Jews, Hashem gives us the ability to rise above it. Hashem told Avraham Avinu before the Bris Ben Abesarim, he said that he took him outside, and then he told him Usfora Kochavim, and you should count the stars, and there, the Rashi tells us he put him above the stars. In fact, I'm going to read you the Rashi in Parshas Lech Lecha that tells us that Hashem elevated Avraham Avinu above the stars to show that he's not governed by the stars the same way. The Pasuk tells us, I'll give you the address. The Pasuk tells us, in Perek Tesvav, chapter 15 in Bereishis, Parshas Lech Lecha, Pasuk Hey, verse 5, the Pasuk says, Vayotze oso hachutza. He took him outside. That's when he told him to count the stars. So Rashi here tells us, Lafi pshuto, according to this simple meaning, hotziu me'ahalo lechutz liras hakochavim. He took him out of his tent outside to see the stars. If you're inside, you can't see the stars. He took him outside. Well, lafi midrasho, but according to the medrash, Amar lo, Hashem said to Avraham, at that time it was only Avram, who was concerned he would not have any children. So Hashem said, Seimi tztagninus shalcha, go out of your stargazing. Shira'isa ba'mazalos, you saw in the constellations, Shein cha'asid la'amid ben, that you will not be able to establish a son. Avram ein lo ben, Avram has no son, that's the mazal of Avram. Aval Avraham yesh lo ben, but Avraham has a child. Sarai lo seled, Sarai will not have children, aval Sarah teled. But Sarah will. I'm going to change your names, and you will then have children. the Gemara says that this is Ein Mazel LiYisrael. Hashem is telling Avraham that I will change the way things are for you and for your wife. It's not just changing the name, it's changing the mazel associated with the person by changing the name. And that is something which is unique to the Jewish people, which is not accessible to the rest of the world. Ein Mazel LiYisrael means we can rise above it. So when the Gemara says Ein Mazel LiYisrael, the Gemara brings this pasuk, this verse over here in Yirmiyahu, that by not learning the ways of the non-Jews, you do not need to be worried about the signs of the heavens. What are the signs of the heavens that we're talking about? So all the way in the beginning, in Bereishis, with the creation of the world, we know on the fourth day, that's when the celestial bodies were put up. And the pasuk tells us that the purpose of these celestial bodies are, there'll be these ma'oros, these lights, v'hayu le'osos ulamo'adim uliyamim vishanim. They will be as signs and times, meaning specific times, and days and years. So Rashi here tells us, v'hayu le'osos, they will be signs, kishahama'oros lokin, when the lights, meaning whatever is up there in the heavens, is when they are struck, when they are lokin, when they are smitten, I guess, simin ra hu la'olam, then it's an evil sign for the world. How do you know that, says Rashi in Bereishis? Shenemar, because the pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, in Perek Yod, chapter 10, pasuk Beis, verse 2, Shenemar, me'osos ha'shamayim al teichasu. Don't be afraid of the signs of the heavens. Basoschem ritzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you do the will of Hashem, ein atem tzrichem lidog min apuranios, you don't need to be worried about the calamity. When the heavenly bodies are struck, it is a sign of calamity, but you don't need to worry about it, because when you're doing the right thing, you rise above that. We are not as attuned to these things, because we're not as attuned to what's going on upstairs. We're very much with what they call light pollution. It's much harder to see what's going on upstairs, and we're just not that interested in it, many people. But there are those people who are keenly interested in it. And in 1994, in the summer of 1994, there was an event that was a major event. It was a very exciting event for astronomers, and that is that there was a comet that was discovered over a year earlier. It was a comet discovered in the spring of 1993, and the comet was trapped in Jupiter's orbit. It was a gigantic comet. It broke up into 8 or 9 pieces, and the pieces measured more than a mile in width and size. And they calculated that those pieces, they were traveling in a line, and those pieces would hit the planet of Jupiter at incredible velocity, causing massive power eruption, impact. And they predicted this, and in the summer of 1994, they hit in a series of days. It was over a period of 6 or 7 days in a row, one after the other slammed into Jupiter. They hit so hard, they created marks that could be seen from Earth on the surface of Jupiter. These marks, they were big black marks on the surface of Jupiter that were easier to see than the famous big red spot on Jupiter. They were easier to see. And they lasted for several months on Jupiter, those those impact marks. They weren't actually holes, of course. They were massive explosions that took place and heated up the atmosphere in that area, and it would look like a black mark on the surface of Jupiter. Some of them were the size of the Earth. That's how big they were. Of course, against Jupiter being a giant planet, it's only a small mark on the face of Jupiter, but extrapolating out to the size of Earth, some of them were that size, the size of Earth itself. That's how big the impact, that's how big the mark was. When I first heard about this, about that this was an impending, I heard about it before it happened, they didn't actually see the impact because it hit on the side of Jupiter that you can't see from the Earth. But Jupiter spins relatively quickly. So shortly after the impact, they could then see it as Jupiter spun around. And they actually did see some flash of light, even though it was on the other side. They were able to see it. It was in the southern hemisphere of Jupiter. When I first heard about this, it was before the impact. They were predicting it. And when I heard about it, I heard the prediction of what English date, and I looked it up, and the first impact was on Tisha B'Av of the summer of 1994. When the Ma'oros are lokin, when the celestial bodies are struck, it is a bad sign. That is a sign of calamity. I can't tell you what calamity it was meant to signal, but there was some element of calamity that was being projected by that sign. Because it was hitting on Tisha B'Av, it of course made me think, it made me nervous, and I thought about it. So there were two things that made me feel better. First of all, because they hit one day after the next, after the next, after the next, the last one hit on Tu B'Av. So it went from Tisha B'Av until Tu B'Av, till the 15th of Av. We know the 15th of Av is actually a holiday. So there was that, which made me feel a little bit better about it. But what also made me feel better about it was the fact that although that comet was around for several years, it was only discovered less than a year and a half earlier before the impact. That's when it was discovered. It was discovered in the springtime. It was discovered right around Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Rosh Chodesh Nisan, of course, is an auspicious time for us. So the impact took place on Tisha B'Av a year and change later. Why do I bring all this up? I can't tell you what that meant to project. That I don't know. We don't know the science of Mazel either. But it clearly was a bad sign. As much as the astronomers community was very excited about this because they were able to actually witness a huge impact. Still, they didn't realize that it was really a bad sign. However, for us, Ein Mazel Yisrael, we always have the ability to rise above whatever that was meant to project. Did we rise above it or not? I don't know, because I don't know what it meant to project. But whatever it was, that is what is being mentioned here in the Pasuk, that it is a bad sign, but we can rise above it because Ein Mazel Yisrael, provided that we do not follow the ways of the nations of the world. Pasuk Gimel, verse 3. Ki chukos ha'amim hevelhu, because the ways of the nations, the statutes of the nations are nothingness. The meaning, referring to idolatry. Ki eitz miyar kiroso, because a tree, a wood from the forest, they cut it down. It's the work of a carpenter using a carpenter's tool. That's how they make the idol. They use wood that they cut down themselves. With silver and gold, they beautify it. With nails and with hammers, they strengthen it. So that it doesn't bend. That's how they make their idols. It's all man-made. Kisomer miksha hema v'lo yedaberu. They are like a tomer. They're like a palm tree. That they are one powerful piece, but they don't speak. Naso yi nasu. They need to be carried. Kilo yitzadu, for they don't walk. Al tiru mehem. Do not be afraid of them. Kilo yoreu. They can't hurt you. Vegam hei teve no sum. And they also cannot help those who serve them. They are inanimate and they are pointless. Now, what Yirmiyahu is going to do here is he's going to toggle back and forth between criticizing Avodah Zarah, idolatry, and praising Hashem. Pasuk Vav, verse 6, and also Pasuk Zion, verse 7, you may find those verses familiar because they are mentioned in Slichos that we say leading up to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. They are in some of the introductory paragraphs of Slichos that are said daily and also on Yom Kippur itself. Me'ein kamocha Hashem. There is nothing like you, Hashem. Gadol ata v'gadol shimcha bigvuro. You are great and your name is great with strength. Mi lo yira'acha melech hagoyim. Who would not fear you, the king of all nations? Ki lecha ya'asa. For to you it is fitting. Because amongst all the wise men of the nations and amongst all their kingdoms, me'ein kamocha, there is nothing like you. There's nothing like you, Hashem. Yirmiyahu uses the term melech hagoyim, the king of nations. This is a departure from other prophets who call Hashem melech Yisrael, king of the Jews. Yirmiyahu uses the term Melech HaGoyim, the king of the nations. All the way in the beginning of Yirmiyahu, in Perek Aleph in chapter 1, Hashem told Yirmiyahu when he tasked him as a Navi, in Perek Aleph chapter 1, Pasuk Hey, verse 5, the verse concludes with, Navi LaGoyim Nisaticha. I have put you as a prophet for all the nations. So in a certain way, Yirmiyahu was also prophesying for everybody. And he does have prophecies, which we'll get to eventually, that are about other nations besides the Jewish people. But the Medrash here says something fascinating. The Medrash tells us that we know that this is a difficult lesson I'm about to share with you. This is a very difficult lesson, but it is nevertheless the truth, and because it's the truth, we have to know it. We know that when Aaron's two sons, when Nadav and Avihu were killed, so we know that there was a fear amongst the Jewish people because they were killed. It was a terrible calamity, and there was a fear amongst the Jewish people. Now, Rashi tells us, this is a critical lesson about this, which again is very difficult here. I just don't remember if the Rashi is in Parshas Tetzaveh. In Parshas Tetzaveh, it's going to be more explicit in Acharemos, but let me do the in Shmini. So in Parshas Tetzaveh, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, this is in Shmos, in Perek Chavtes, chapter 29, in the end of Pasuk Mem Gimel, 43, it says that Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, when the Mishkan is going to be built, he says, after I build it, v'nikdash bichvodi, it will become sanctified with my honor. The Mishkan will become sanctified with my honor. Rashi here tells us, Umedrash Agada, Al Tikri Bichvodi, don't read it with my honor, Ela Bimichu Badi, with those who are my honorable ones, Bimichu Badim Shali. Kan Ramaz Lo Misas Bini Aaron Bioma Kamaso, and here Hashem hinted to the death of the sons of Aaron on the day of the inauguration of the Mishkan, that there is the Mishkan will become sanctified with those who honor me, with Nadav and Avihu, who would be killed. Now, that is, of course, sobering, but there's a deeper lesson to that. And that is that in Parshas Shemini, when their deaths actually happen, so there, let's read it to you. So there we know that when they died, Aharon was silent, Vayidom Aharon, Aharon was silent, and he is rewarded for his silence. And Moshe Rabbeinu says to Aharon, Hu asher diber Hashem lemor, this is what Hashem meant when he said, Bikrovai ekadesh, with my close ones I will become sanctified. That's a reference back to Parshas Tetzaveh. This pasuk I'm reading to you now is in Parshas Shmini, in Vayikra, Perek Yud, chapter 10, pasuk Gimel, verse 3. So I will become sanctified with those who are close to me. Here Rashi explains it further. Rashi says, Kisha HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oseh Din B'Tzadikim, when Hashem carries out judgment against the righteous, harsh judgment against the righteous, Mis Yarei Umis Ale Umis Kales. He becomes feared, he becomes exalted, he becomes praised. A lot of the times when we are faced with these sorts of questions, we say, why? How could this be? And it challenges our faith. But the truth is, our reaction ought to be not, how could this happen? But our reaction should be, Im kein be'elu. If this is the judgment against the righteous, Kol shekein b'rishayim, all the more so, look what's going to happen to the evil people. If Hashem exacts din even against the righteous, look what happened. The sons of Aaron, who were such great tzaddikim, look what happened. They were killed. And we say this when we see calamity in our day and age, and we say, look what happened. Righteous people were killed. So the reaction should be, if this is what Hashem does for a slight offense, because what could they have possibly done that was so terrible? But look what really can happen to a person, even though it's a slight offense. Imagine what's going to happen to the Rishayim, to the evil people. And that's what it means, that Hashem is feared because of carrying out judgment against the righteous. So as I said, this is a very difficult lesson. But that is the true lesson that we're supposed to walk away with when chas v'shalom, when God forbid we see a righteous person that is hurt or killed or whatever it is, that's the message that one is supposed to walk away with. One is supposed to fear Hashem and say that the demand of serving Hashem is very, very great. And Hashem does, if this is what how he punishes the righteous, imagine what's going to happen to the evil people. So the Medrash in Yirmiyahu says to us that when it says in Pasuk Zion, verse 7, Mi lo yira'acham melech ha-goyim, who will not fear you, king of all the nations? That Yirmiyahu is saying, people of the world, look what is happening to the Jewish people. Look at what Hashem is doing to the Jews when they are being punished now, and their temple is being destroyed, and they're being dragged into exile, and they are suffering, and there's death, and there's pain and suffering. Look at this, what's happening to the Jewish people and nations of the world. The Jewish people are much more righteous than you are. And this is what's happening to the Jewish people. Imagine what's going to happen to you. You need to look at this and take Musar. You need to take the admonishment and improve yourselves. Because if this is what's happening to the Jews, don't think you're going to walk away scot-free. If this is happening to the Jews, what you're going to get is going to be exponentially worse. That's the message that they ought to have walked away with, having witnessed what is happening to the Jewish people and the destruction of the temple. Pasuk Ches, verse 8. Uv'achas yiv'aru v'yichsalu. With one major sin, they will be consumed and become foolish. What sin is that? Musar havalim. It is the criticism of the nothingness, eitz hu, which is only wood. It is the nothingness of serving idols. That's the worst avera, and it is for that avera that the nations of the world are ultimately destroyed. Kesef meruka mitarshish yuva. This special silver, this silver that has been made into a very thin plating, comes from Tarshish, a place. Vizahav me ufaz, and gold from ufaz. Maase charash videt soref, the work of a carpenter in the hands of a sculptor. Tcheles viargaman levusham, their clothing is made with this dyed wool. Maase chachamim kulam, it is all the work of wise people, people who are very talented in what they do. Vahashem Elokim MS. Hashem Elokim is the truth. Hu Elokim Chayim Umelech Olam. He is a living God, or the living God, and the King forever. Mikitz Po Tirash Haaretz, from his anger the world will shake. Velo Yachilu Goyim Zamo, and the nations cannot handle his wrath. The Gemara tells us in Meseches Brachos that even though Kriyas Shema, the three paragraphs of Shema, the third paragraph, ends with the word Elokeichem. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. That's the last word of the third paragraph of Shema. Then the bracha that comes next begins with the word MS, truth. In the morning we say MS V'yatziv, and in the evening we say MS ve'emunah. But MS is not part of Shema. The word MS is the beginning of the bracha that follows Shema. Yet, when we say Shema, we don't pause after the word Elokeichem. We say Hashem Elokeichem MS. And the Chazon, when the Chazon is ending off Shema, the Chazon says Hashem Elokeichem MS. That is a departure from the regular way of ending off any other prayer. Normally, the Chazan ends off with the last words of that paragraph, and then we begin the next one. Here, the Chazan runs together the end of Shema with the beginning of the next paragraph. Hashem Elokeichem MS. That is because of this pasuk right here. Hashem Elokim MS. We see that you are to connect Elokim with MS, with truth. And so, therefore, he says, Hashem Elokeichem MS. It also, you may have noticed this, that really the phrase would be more faithful to the pasuk if the Chazan would say, Ani Hashem Elokeichem MS. I am Hashem your God, who is the truth. Because Hashem is speaking in first person. But the Chazan leaves out the word Ani. He just says, Hashem Elokeichem MS, as if it's third person. Hashem your God is the truth. So why does he drop the word Ani? That's because of this pasuk. That the only three words the Chazan should say is Hashem Elokeichem MS, as it says here, Vashem Elokim MS. Hashem is the only truth. There is no other truth but Hashem. Why is this so? Because of the rest of the pasuk, Hu Elokim Chayim Umelech Olam, because he's the living God and he is king forever. Anybody else can say that they are going to do something, but they cannot guarantee it. A human being can never guarantee anything. We always ask for a guarantee. You can guarantee only up to human ability. One cannot really guarantee, because a human being is here today, gone tomorrow. There is no guarantee that anybody is going to be here 1 second from now. And therefore, a human being is never able to guarantee anything. But Hashem is Elokim Chayim Umelech Olam. He is living and he is forever. And therefore, he is the only MS He is the only truth. Whatever he says will most certainly be, will come to fruition because he is Hashem Elohim, who is Emes, who is Elohim Chaim, who is Melech Olam. Pasuk Yud Aleph, verse 11. Here we have a fascinating thing. Until now, the language Yirmiyahu has used is Hebrew. Here, he switches for one pasuk to Aramaic, to Aramis. He switches to the language of the Babylonians. That's the language he's about to use. Now, this is not the only place that we find Aramis, that we find Aramaic in Scripture. We even find it in the Chumash, where Lavan and Yaakov, at the end of Parashas Vayetze, are making a covenant. Yaakov calls the place Gal-Ed, and Lavan calls the same place, the Torah tells us, Yegar Sahadusa. Yegar Sahadusa is the Aramaic translation of Gal-Ed. And the Torah records it. I'm not talking about Unkelus. The Torah itself records the Aramaic rendition of Lavan. That's the Torah has it there. More famously, in Sefer Daniel, in the book of Daniel, many chapters are written in Aramaic. Not the entire book, but there are many chapters in Daniel that are written in Aramaic. That's not surprising because the book of Daniel takes place in Golos, in exile, in Bavel. And so he uses the language of the people. There are also some chapters in Ezra and Nehemiah that are also in Aramis. Same thing. But here it's only one pasuk. So the Medrash explains that Yirmiyahu was sending a message to the Jews who were already in Golos. As you know, the king Yechonya was taken into Golos 11 years before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and with him were many of the leaders of the Jewish people. And here Yirmiyahu is sending them a message from Israel, but he uses the language of the Babylonians. Kidna temrum lahon. This is what you should respond to them. When the Babylonians try to get you to bow down to their idols, this is what you should say. Elohaya dishmaya va'arka lo avadu. You are asking us to worship a God, meaning a power, that did not make the heavens nor the earth. Elohaya, a God, dishmaya va'arka, that the heavens and the earth, lo avadu, they did not make. You want us to worship that which did not make the heavens nor the earth. Yovadu me'ara, they will be destroyed from the land, umitchoshmaya, and from beneath the heavens, ele, these. Meaning, the idols and those who serve them will be wiped out from the land and from underneath the heavens. Yirmiyahu is sending to them, this should be what you tell them. In other words, go jump in a lake. That's what he's telling them to say. He's telling them, don't mince words. Tell them directly that what you're doing is foolish and ridiculous and we are not going to do it. Even though you are in Golos and it might be dangerous, he is instructing them to give them that answer when they try to get them to bow down. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam shehakol nibra. Amen. Pasuk Yud Beis, verse 12. Going back now to Hashem. Osei Eretz b'chocho. He makes the land with his strength. Mechin tevel b'chachmaso. He prepares, again, another word for the land, with his wisdom. Uvisvinaso nata shamayim. And with his tevuna, with his deep understanding, he spread out the heavens. L'kol tito hamon mayim b'ashamayim. To the sound of his putting a massive amount of water in the heavens. Vayala nesiyim mikzei haaretz, and he brings up the clouds from the edge of the earth. Birakim la'matar asa, he makes lightning for the rain. Vayotzei ruach me'otz rosav, and he takes out the wind from its storehouses. So the Gemara discusses how the bringing about of rain is an incredible event, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, does that regularly. Nivar kol adam midas. All people, this is now going back to the nations of the world, all people are have become
says brutish.
Brutish, okay. Okay. Losing their minds. Hovish called Soref mi pasel. Those who form those who are sculptors, they lose their ability to sculpt. Ki sheker nisko veluruach bam. Because because their idols are false, and they have no spirit, which means they have no life. There's no value to them at all. Hevel hema ma'ase tatuim. They are nothingness. They are the work of tatuim, of those that go astray. Be'es pekudasam yovedu, when they are visited upon, which means when Hashem brings punishment upon them, yovedu, they will be destroyed. So the phrase here is used as ma'asei tatuim, the work of those that go astray. We'll bring your attention to the pasuk in Parashas Toldos, when Yaakov Avinu is being asked by his mother to fool his father into giving him the brachos, and Yaakov is afraid to do so, and he says to his mother, in Perek Chav Zayin, chapter 27, and it is Pasuk Yud Beis, Pasuk, verse 12, Yaakov Avinu says, Ula Yemusheni Avi, maybe my father will touch me, he'll feel me, V'yisi Veinav Kim Satea. And I will be in his eyes, I'm looking at the English here, as a mocker in his eyes. It's the same word as over here, ma'asei tatuim. The Gemara tells us, someone who acts in a misleading and deceiving manner is like someone who worships Avodah Zarah. The same phrase is used. Yaakov says, if I deceive my father, then I am Kim Satea. And the phrase used over here for those who worship idols is Tatuim. Same word. It means to go astray. So that's perhaps a little surprising that it should be so serious that someone who acts in a deceptive manner should be as bad as one who worships Avodah Zarah, worships idols. However, it's not so strange. Remember, what did we say about Hashem? Hashem Elokim, Emes. Hashem is the truth. One who deviates deliberately in a deceptive manner from the truth is, in fact, like one who worships Avodah Zarah, because they are turning away from Hashem. Sheker, falsehood, is behaving in a way that is diametrically opposed to Hashem, who is the Emes, who is the truth. Pasuk Tezayin, verse 16. Lo chayla chaylak Yaakov. This is not the portion of Yaakov. Ki yotzer hakol hu. Because Hashem is the one who created everything. V'Yisrael shevet nachalaso, and Yisrael, the Jews, are his tribe, his inheritance. Hashem tzvakos shemo. Hashem tzvakos is his name. So we've been going back and forth with the criticism of idolatry, and now the praise of Hashem. But now we move into what we are more used to with Yirmiyahu, where there now is going to be some words about the Jews going into Golos, going into exile. Ispi me eretz kin aseich, gather in from the land. This either means your humility or it means your falsehood, like your false business dealings. Yosheves b'matzar, you who are dwelling in the siege of Yerushalayim. Ki cho amar Hashem, because this is what Hashem said. Hineni kolea es yoshvei ha'aretz b'pamazos, I am going to be kolea, those who dwell in this land at this time. Kolea, is a verb that means to throw something very, very far, as in like a catapult, to catapult something, to throw something. So I'm going to throw those who dwell here at this time. I'm going to scatter them, but in a violent way. Vatzerosi lahem, and I'm going to give them pain, laman yimtso, so that their punishment will be found. There is now going to be retribution for their sins. And Hashem says, Yerushalayim will say the following, Oy li al shivri, woe to me for my broke, I am broken. Nachla makasi, my wound has become, I've become sick with my wound. Vani amarti, and I said, Ach ze chaliv esaenu. This is my sickness, and I need to carry it. I am, woe to me that I need to carry this sickness. Ahali shudad, my tent has been captured. Vachome sarai nitaku, and all my ropes have been cut. Bana yitzauni ve'inam, my children have left me, and they are no longer here. Eino te'od ahali, there's no one now to pitch my tent, umekim yiriosai, and establish my curtains, then no one is here to do it. They've all been taken away into galus, into exile. Kinivaru haroim, because the shepherds, have been consumed. Ves Hashem lo, or they think, is it consumed, or they've been acted in a sinful manner? What does nivaru mean? I don't remember.
Brutish,
okay, again. Okay, they've acted in a sinful manner. Right. They've acted in a sinful manner, the shepherds, which means the leaders, the kings. Ves Hashem lo darashu, they did not seek out Hashem. Al kelo hiskilu, v'chomar isam nafotza. Therefore, they have not become wise, and all of those that they shepherded have now been scattered. Kol shmuna shmua hinei va'a. The sound of what is the news has now come. Virash gadol me'eretz tzafon, and a great cacophony from the northern lands. Remember, that's where Bavel comes from. Lasumes are Yehuda shmama, to put the cities of Yehuda in desolation. Me'on tanim, that it should be now the home of snakes, that nobody is going to be around. Yadati Hashem, ki lo la'adam darko. I know Hashem, that not is to man his ways, which means that man does not control where he goes. That the either this means, Rashi has two explanations, either it means that the people who sinned, they sinned because of their yetzer hara, their evil inclination, and they were pushed into sinning, not that they're without blame, but if they're not acting the way they really want to act, they really want to act better than that, that's one explanation. Or, it's not by way of man the ability to win or lose a war. That is up to Hashem, who is going to win. And when he brought the Babylonians to Eretz Yisrael, he caused them to win. Lo li'ish ha'lech, it is not man's ability to go, v'hachin es tza'ado, and prepare his steps. He does not control his destiny. Hashem controls his destiny. But we conclude this chapter with a fascinating statement. First of all, Chavdal 24. Yasreini Hashem, ach b'mishpat. Hashem, chastise me. Give me afflictions. Afflict me, but do it with mishpat. Do it with judgment. Do it in a measured way. Al biapcha. Don't do it with your anger. Pentamiteni, lest you diminish me. Hashem, I understand if I need to be punished, I accept it. That's what Klal Yisrael says to Hashem. If this is what is necessary, then I accept it. But do it in a measured way. Do it to build me. Don't do it to diminish me. Don't do it in anger. It used to be, I've shared this before, we say on Yom Kippur, we say that Hashem, that we say, Yehi Ratzon, it should be your will, Shalo Echet Ha'od, that I should not sin anymore. We say that on Yom Kippur, Hashem, we daven, please, help me, I should not sin again for the rest of my life. U'mashachatasi kvar, and that which I've already sinned, so we say, Marek berachamecha harabim, you should eradicate with your great mercy, avalo al yedei yisurim b'chaloyim roim, but not through afflictions and sicknesses that are evil. Evil sicknesses and afflictions. There was a man who used to live in Baltimore. His name was Rabbi Yosef Walk, Alav Shalom. And he once told me, so then what are we asking from Hashem? We're asking him to wipe away the sins, but don't do it with evil afflictions and with evil sicknesses. So then how are we supposed to get rid of the sins? If we did teshuvah, we don't have to get rid of them, they're gone. If we didn't do teshuvah, they don't just disappear. So what are we asking? So he didn't quote this pasuk, this verse, but this is what he said. He said, we're asking Hashem, if I need to be punished, please do it in a measured way. Don't do it through evil afflictions and evil sickness. Do it in a lighter way. Do it, I'd rather have a whole bunch of small problems rather than any serious big ones. That's what we're asking of Hashem. And therefore he used to say that, you know, here sometimes we get these frustrations and these minor aches and pains and we complain. Stub your toe. You have the car breaks down. We complain. But he says, this is what we asked for. We're asking Hashem, if we need to have some sort of a punishment, then do it with the small things. Don't give us anything serious. We don't want anything serious. And that's really what Klal Yisrael is saying over here. Of course, we'd rather do a complete tshuva that we don't have to need any punishment whatsoever. That would be the best. But if we don't get that far, then we're asking, then keep it small. Bunch of small things instead of something major. That's what we're asking for. And finally, we end with a pasuk, with a verse that you should all find very familiar. Shvoch chamascha al hagoyim asher lo yudaucha. Pour your anger on the nations that do not know you. Val mishpachos asher b'shimcha lo karo, and on the families that in your name they have not called out. Ki achlu es Yaakov, for they have consumed Yaakov. Va'achaluhu va'yechaluhu, and they consumed him and they destroyed him. Ves navehu heishamu, and his home, which means the Beis HaMikdash, the temple, heishamu, they have destroyed. So pour your anger on them. Don't do it on us, but rather pour your anger on them. This is the pasuk that we say when we open the door on Seder night. On Seder night?
I knew it sounded familiar.
Right. When we open the door on Seder night, we open the door and we say, Shvoch Hamascha. This is in the Haggadah. It is quoting directly from here, from Yirmiyahu. This is the pasuk. Now, we've mentioned before that opening the door on Seder night is not to allow Eliyahu Hanavi to come into the house. He doesn't need a doorway to get in, and that is not the reason why the door is opened on Seder night. We've talked about that before. Well, the reason we open up the door on Seder night is because we are saying we trust in Hashem. We have emunah. Because we are told that that the Seder night is a Leil Shimurim. It's a night of protection. And we open the door to show that we believe in what the Chumash says, that we are safe and we are not afraid to open up the door even though it is in the middle of the night. And we wouldn't normally open the door in the middle of the night like this. Now we're going to do it to show that we are not afraid. In the Zechus, in the merit, that we are not afraid, Eliyahu HaNavi should come and he should herald the ultimate redemption. That's why we open the door. But why do we say this verse? Shvoch chamascha al hagoyim asher lo yudaucha. Pour your anger on the nations that don't know you. It's a very, very powerful verse to say. So why do we say particularly this verse? The Vilna Gaon, the Gra, writes, and there it's written in his name, in the Haggadah of the Vilna Gaon, in the Siddur of the Vilna Gaon, he writes that we know that Hallel on the night of Pesach is broken up. We say the first two paragraphs before the meal, before the Suda, at the end of Magid. Then we break and we have Matzah and Maror and the meal itself. We bench. And after benching, then we continue with Hallel, which is really the latter part of Hallel. We start with Lo Lanu. That's with the third paragraph of Hallel. So because we have broken it up, we are right now right in the middle of Hallel, but we don't have the continuation from the beginning and the end. The reason we break it up is because the first two paragraphs of Hallel speak of the redemption from Egypt. So they fit in perfectly with the theme of Magid, where we talk about the redemption from Egypt. But the rest of Hallel speaks about the future redemption. The future redemption fits in with Nirtzah at the end of the Haggadah, talking about the future, how Eliyahu HaNavi will come and herald the Mashiach for our ultimate redemption. So that's why we save that for the after the meal. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Megillah, in the order of the Shmoneh Esrei, that we have the bracha of Al HaTzadikim. Al HaTzadikim is the bracha about the righteous. Right before that bracha is the bracha of Vila Malshinim Al Tihi Sikva. To those who are the Malshinim, those who rat on their fellow Jews, there should be no hope. They should be destroyed. The Gemara tells us, why does the pasuk of the bracha of Vela Malshinim precede the bracha of Ala Tzadikim? So the Gemara says, because the Keren Tzadikim, the horn, the grandeur of the righteous, is not Nisromeim, is not uplifted until you first have the downfall of the Rishayim. The Rishayim first have to fall, and then the Tzadikim can be uplifted. That's the order in which Hashem does it. And so therefore, V'lam Malshinim, which speaks about the downfall of the evil that comes first, then comes Al HaTzadikim, the rising up of the ascending of the Tzadikim of the righteous. And so, since we are about to say the second part of Hallel and about Mashiach and the future Eliyahu HaNavi and the Tzadikim assuming their rightful place, so before that, we begin with this pasuk, Shfoch HaMascha Al HaGoyim, pour your anger on those who do not know you, who deliberately reject you, the Rishayim, the evil ones, they should be thrown down, and then the Tzadikim will be lifted up. And that's why this is the pasuk that is used when we open the door on Seder night. This is the pasuk that is quoted. And that is a nice pasuk to end with for our Shir tonight, and for our upcoming summer break, we'll pause here, and remember the next class will be on August the 18th, Mirtz Hashem. According to my calculations, we should be able to get in three classes, I hope, before Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah is on a Tuesday, Wednesday. Yom Kippur is on a Wednesday night, Thursday. Once we hit Rosh Hashanah, then we're knocked out until after Sukkot. But I think we'll be able to get in three classes, Mitzvah Hashem, starting August 18th.